The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a story about one man's journey from death row executioner to Lutheran pastor. It's titled The Executioner's Redemption, My Story of Violence, Death, and Saving Grace. You can check it out at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Executioner's Redemption is on sale for $12.99. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, The Executioner's Redemption. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilken. On Monday, the Norwegian Lutheran Church, a state church there in Norway, the state church, I should say, voted, and this surprised no one, but they voted to allow same-sex marriages. How did it get to that point, and what should be the reaction of confessional Lutherans when something like this happens? We're going to be talking with Dr. Al Culver, Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about this. He is Executive Secretary of the International Lutheran Council as well, and he joins us from Ethiopia. Al, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be back.
I got to know, how did this the news of the Norwegian Lutheran Church allowing same-sex marriages, approving these things, how did that go over among our fellow Lutherans in Ethiopia?
Well, in Ethiopia, this is not the first time they've dealt with this. Their long-term partners in Sweden made this choice, and now their friends from the Church of Norway have made this choice. And so it was actually greeted with much sadness. There was great sadness, and there was a prayer for repentance, and people were very, very, very sad about the situation, but also at the same time very committed to remain faithful to the Scriptures and to uphold the traditional view of marriage.
What did the Norwegian Lutheran Church actually approve on Monday?
Well, the Norwegian Lutheran Church, or the Church of Norway, decided to approve a same-sex marriage. And what they decided, in some sense, I imagine, as a compromise from their point of view, they would initially keep the same liturgy, the traditional liturgy, and then add an additional liturgy for the same-sex couples. And they would not require pastors to perform the ceremony if it violated their conscience. So there was still a conscience clause. And then over the next 4 years, they would develop a new liturgy, a single liturgy for matrimony that would include both heterosexual and same-sex couples.
So how did the Norwegian church get to this point, Al?
Well, this is a long, drawn-out history of what's been going on in these Scandinavian churches. Even the topic of women ordination was almost driven by changes in equality laws. And once those laws were passed, the church justified theologically the ordination of women. So today, if you fast forward today, there are laws that guarantee that same-sex couples could marry. And the church apparently had to develop a liturgy and a ceremony to go along with the laws of the land.
So do you think someone's going to say, well, here's the problem. It's a state church. And so the state church, because it's entangled with the state, is going to feel more pressure when the social and legal situation changes there. Couldn't happen to other Lutherans where they aren't state churches. What's your response?
Well, obviously, where taxes are involved or state, when Caesar is involved in funding the church and the salaries, then the church is under more pressure to comply with the desires of Caesar. So in the Scandinavian churches, for many, many years, there was not an actual or real separation of church and state. That was obviously a problem. But if you flip over to America, to the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, they did not have government pressure, and they still made the same choice. So the involvement of the state or lack of involvement in the state does not necessarily guarantee one's position.
Is there still a remnant of faithful confessional Lutheranism in these Scandinavian countries?
Well, In fact, there is. Today in Ethiopia, I was meeting with some Swedish pastors who came to Ethiopia for the conference we're holding on the scriptures alone. And they were very saddened by the news in Norway. And they also told about a number of faithful pastors in Sweden and in Norway who are trying to resist the societal trends that are going on. So there is a remnant, but it is small.
What is our official relationship with both that remnant of faithful Lutheran pastors and churches in the Scandinavian countries, and what's our relationship, if any, with the state church in Norway?
Well, that's a great question. Your last question, Todd, what's our relation to the state church? The Missouri Synod and the ILC have no official relationship with any of the state church or formerly state churches in Scandinavia. However, we, since I guess about 1880 or so, we've had a relationship with the Free Church in Denmark. And we just, at this upcoming convention, we anticipate entering a full altar and pulpit fellowship with the Lutheran Church of Norway, which is a small Lutheran church based out of Oslo. In addition to those churches in Scandinavia, we have relations now, not yet altar and pulpit fellowship, but we're beginning discussions both on the International Lutheran Council and in the Missouri Synod with the Nordic Diocese. And the Nordic Diocese consists of a group of churches in Norway, a group of churches in Sweden, and a group of churches in Finland. So since the sexuality decisions in these state churches both the ILC and the Missouri Synod's relationship has dramatically increased in Scandinavia.
So let's talk a little bit about that conscience clause that you had mentioned before. What do you make of it, and do you think it's a permanent fixture of their decision to approve same-sex marriage?
Well, if history tells us anything, it will not be permanent. I think that it merely exists today to try to prevent churches or pastors and congregations in Norway from leaving now. And I think it's sort of like the canary in the coal mine. As the gases increase, eventually the canary dies, and eventually the conscience clause will disappear. In fact, there's even more evidence of it. Just today, just before you and I began talking, I read an article from Norway about the Norwegian Mission Society. And the Norwegian Mission Society actually said, "We do not want to split the Church of Norway. And although we do not agree with this decision of same-sex, we are not going to protest it or fight it."
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that they are, in a way, somewhat capitulating, and all of their support, financial support, comes from these groups, or from the Church of Norway. It's where the dollars are.
How would you respond to this? We often hear this kind of canard against Lutheranism from Roman Catholic apologists, and they'll say, look at the Scandinavian Lutherans, and you can see where Lutheranism goes, with both its radical separation of the two kingdoms, right and left-hand kingdoms, and its radical freedom in the gospel. Lutheran theology leads to this kind of thing that we saw in the Norwegian Lutheran Church.
Well, I guess the first thing that I would say is if these Norwegian Lutherans or Swedish Lutherans were actually practicing the separation of church and state, or practicing the doctrine of the two kingdoms, they may not be in the same situation that they are. So I think it's a misnomer to say that they're actually practicing or exercising the doctrine of the two kingdoms. They're commingling the kingdoms and allowing the state to influence the church.
What about the charge that it's a freedom in the gospel that will lead to this kind of acceptance of immorality?
Well, when there is antinomianism present or gospel reductionism, we know, even from our own experience with Seminex, that all sorts of mischief arises. I do not believe that is the natural outgrowth or outcome of Lutheranism. I think that's an error that slips in. And this antinomianism or this despising of the law of God does obviously lead to that.
Finally, Al, how do you explain, coming back to where you're at now in Ethiopia, how do you explain to our Lutheran brothers and sisters in Ethiopia that Confessional Lutheranism, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is not going to follow in the footsteps of an increasing number of churches and Lutherans in Scandinavia and approve things like homosexual marriage?
Well, you know, our brothers and sisters and friends in Ethiopia actually have great confidence in the Missouri Synod that they won't, because they see in the Missouri Synod a church based on the Word of God and the Holy Scriptures, and they also see the Missouri Synod as upholding the Lutheran confessions. And so our conference here the last several days has been on Scripture alone, and both the speakers from North America and the speakers from Ethiopia have been emphasizing how we need to stay rooted in the Scriptures, and many of the pastors are expressing great appreciation to the confession and witness of the Missouri Synod gives. So in one sense, in their minds, it's unthinkable that the Missouri Synod would ever go in this direction. And they certainly pray that we won't and that our witness stays strong.
Are you, from your vantage point, seeing both inside and outside the United States, the confessional voice of Lutheranism in both places, are you optimistic about the future of confessional Lutheranism?
Well, I am optimistic because I believe in what we confess in Augsburg Confession 7. And the Lord desires for a church that proclaims the gospel in truth and purity and administers the sacrament rightly. And so our trust and confidence is in our Lord's word and promise that he'll preserve this. And in one sense, as things get darker, as churches make decisions like the Church of Norway to support same-sex marriage, it's a mark of distinction. It makes things clear. You are either with the Scriptures, you either believe what Christ says or you don't. And in one sense, that sort of light and darkness is helpful for people. So, yes, I'm optimistic.
Dr. Al Culver is Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's Executive Secretary of the International Lutheran Council, and he joined us from Ethiopia. Al, thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be with you.
Folks, Luther Academy assists the church to preserve and to proclaim to the world the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find out more about this worldwide confessionally Lutheran mission outreach at lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com. Be sure to register to receive their free online newsletter, LutherAcademy.com, serving Lutheran pastors and lay people to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., it's Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. Talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.